In August 1867, E.B. Crocker sent a telegram to Collis Huntington. Summit tunnel broke through at 4 p.m. Toot your horn. Locomotive on the truckie is in running order. Track laying commences Monday on the truckie. The breakthrough was seen by only one single light, and that not the sun, but a lantern. There was much broken rock still to be removed from the bottoms. The breakthrough had to be extended up, down, and sideways to complete the whole tunnel. The grade had to be built, the ties put down, the rails laid and spiked. But that light was exactly where it should have been. Clement had achieved a triumph of the first magnitude in engineering. The summit tunnel was 7,042 feet above the sea. This was the highest point reached by the CP. The facings were off by only 2 inches. The Sierra Nevada had been pierced. The CP had gone through the mountain at exactly the point where Theodore Judah had said it should be done, following a line that he had laid out. Even though they were through the summit, the CP had not a single aid-worthy 20-mile stretch of continuous track laid. The line east of the summit was not yet connected and would not be until 1868. The UP had built 500 miles of track since 1865. The CP was 370 miles behind its rival. In 1867, the CP had laid only some 39 miles of track. Although it was beyond the summit tunnel, it was only by 2.5 miles. There was a 7-mile gap down the mountain to tunnel number 13. Crews could not complete the gap until the snow melted. After that gap, there were 24 miles laid to the state line. Crocker had managed to get locomotives over to the east side of the summit and some flat cars and track material, but that was all. As was so often the case, the CP was out of money, and it had enormous expenses. Building the snow sheds, for example. In November, E.B. Crocker wrote to Huntington, "You still sneer at pine lumber being stacked up on the line, but if you knew how much it cost us last winter to shovel snow out of those cuts, you would not say another word. Those snow sheds will pay their cost in a single winter." Huntington was also complaining about the cost of keeping the entire labor force at work. Crocker told him it had to be. "All are anxious to complete the mountain work," he explained, "so as to move into the valley and beyond and not have to come back to the mountains in the spring. They all understand it and cheerfully work Sundays to get through." The Big Four were always looking for another way to make money. Stanford wanted consolidation and monopoly. He once said he expected to see the time when there would not be more than 5 great companies in the United States, and he especially wanted one single railroad. "If all the roads were operated as one road," he said, "they could regulate prices lower than today and make money, while now they don't make money." So, through 1867, the Big Four reached out for a monopoly of railroading in California. By the end of the year, the partners owned 5 railroads, the CP, the Western Pacific Railroad, the California and Oregon Railroad, the California Central Railroad, and the Yuba Railroad, and were considering adding a 6th, the Southern Pacific Railroad. Most of these roads had little finished construction, but they had federal land grants and could be picked up cheap. With them, the Big Four had a near monopoly on the railroads in California. Despite the buying up of other railroads, Charles Crocker and Company was out of money. On October 28, the Big Four plus E.B. Crocker, therefore, had voted to follow the lead of the UP and the Crédit Mobilier and create the Contract and Finance Company. Charles Crocker became the president. The Big Four hoped to sell some stock in the new company, but as Stanford lamented, "We did not succeed in any quarter in interesting others and finally gave it up." So, each man subscribed for 1/5 of the Contract and Finance Company's stock. The Big Four then signed a contract with the new company that gave it the right to build from the state line to the Salt Lake at $43,000 per mile in cash, plus an equal amount of CP stock. In addition, it would build most of the line for the recently acquired railroads. It was obvious to the Big Four that someday soon the Contract and Finance Company would be making huge profits. So, they created phony investors who supposedly owned much of the stock. A half year later, that stock was sold to Charlie Crocker, so that the stockholders of the Contract and Finance Company consisted of Crocker and his brother, E.B., Collis Huntington, Mark Hopkins, and Leland Stanford.